The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hello, welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. On Wednesday, as we prepare for the start of the new league year across the NFL, we heard from Chiefs linebacker Drew Tranquil.
Hey, Brad, I'll have a follow-up too. Drew, congratulations. I just wanted first, real quickly, Andy Reid have to send you any text to sign this one? Did he have to recruit you back on this one?
He sent me a follow-up text on this one. Nothing in the pre-negotiations, though.
Sounds good. We talked to general manager Brett Veach. He talked so much about you taking a gamble on the Chiefs last year when you signed with them, when they had starting linebackers in place. I just wondered if you could take us back to last year when you signed with the Chiefs and just the thought process you had of potentially signing with a team that already had, you know, the position, some guys set in place.
I mean, we got into free agency and it wasn't, some dominoes fell, not in our favor. Teams signed certain guys or got deals done where maybe they didn't think they were going to get it done. And, I was kind of forced into a situation where I had a ton of decisions between in 1 year deals. Obviously the Chiefs have championship pedigree, but they had a great, you know, linebacker room when you looked across the board. I just knew from my experience playing this game that whenever I have made decisions, whether it was choosing to go to Notre Dame over Purdue, choosing, you know, to just be around the best, like when I'm around like really good players, I get better as a player. And I knew that I would come out of this as a better player. I'd have better tape to show for it. And it is a bit of a gamble because you going into it, you're not guaranteed any type of playing time. And so, I knew I'd have to go in there and work hard, but, you know, it paid off in the end.
Let's go next to Mick Schaefer. Go ahead, Mick.
Hey, Drew, congratulations. I'm just wondering, after your previous 4 years of getting one playoff game and, you know, seasons ending in early January or mid-January, at best, what's like ending a season in mid-February as a Super Bowl champion, what life has been like for you this past month or so?
Well, Mick, it's been fantastic. I'm used to the season ending there in the middle of January, and to be able to play football into February, I was telling my wife and teammates, I'm like, this is the first game in February I've ever played in my entire life. It was special. It's been a special, you know, past month. It's a quick turnaround, obviously, with OTAs around the corner here, but man, I want to do it again and again and again. I was telling my linebacker coach, I'm like, I feel more hungry to like go win a Super Bowl now than I did 6 months ago. And he goes, it's the strangest feeling. He's won six himself. You just, the hunger to like go win another one is crazy. I'm excited.
Let's go next to Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Drew, congratulations. It seems like you've really enjoyed your year here with the Chiefs. And maybe that goes beyond just the winning. I mean, I know you're going to be getting a ring here in a few months, but it seems like it goes beyond that. Can you kind of detail some of the things at the top of your list, what you like about playing here?
Well, I think the organization has great leadership from the top all the way down to the bottom. I think it's got extraordinary ownership, incredible coaches, and extraordinary, you know, player leadership. extraordinary leadership across the board. And, you know, when I look at the coaching staff in particular, the guys who are leading you on a day-to-day basis, when I look at Steve Spagnuolo, Brendan Daly, who are the two coaches I'm, you know, responsible to, I mean, they just made me feel so valued as a player, so a part of our plan on a week-to-week basis. And I think that's all, you know, we as human beings, we're looking to feel valued. We're looking to contribute to something bigger than ourselves. I think they do a tremendous job of leading men and putting us in a position to win football games. The energy just in Kansas City, everybody loves football. There's like this childlike hunger that, you know, as you go on in your career can sometimes get lost. And I feel like I refound that in some ways last year with Kansas City and just really fell in love with the practice routines we had and preparing for opponents and going out on a week-to-week basis. And people will be like, well, yeah, it's easy because you guys won. And it's like, well, I mean, we didn't have the most successful regular season that they've had. We went through, you know, a 6 or 7 game stretch where it was like we were winning one, losing two, winning one, or winning two, losing one. So there were some ups and downs, but I enjoyed the process of it, Adam.
Yeah. Drew, you talked a minute ago about Spags and Daly sort of making you feel valued. Can you give us an example or two of that, like story maybe that tells you how they tells us how they made you feel that way?
Well, I mean, we know Nick went down versus the Chargers, and I kind of stepped into a full-time role for a few weeks, got banged up versus Green Bay. And then after I came back from that Buffalo game, I kind of moved back into a part-time role where, you know, I was getting 15 to 20 snaps a game. And, you know, as a competitor, you want to be out there every snap. And I remember a couple weeks kind of after that, Coach Spags, like right before we walked into our individual meeting, we had just broken the unit meeting. And we were heading to our linebacker meeting. He pulled me into his office and like just affirmed me of like how great of a player he thought I was, how important I was to our unit and us being successful this year. And just said that, man, I'm trying to find every single way I can to get our best players on the field. And like when you hear a coach tell you that and then you see opportunities, whether it's packages they put in or certain calls that they're featuring in a plan, you know, it makes you feel like your hard work and what you're putting into it and all the heart and energy and sweat equity you're putting into something matters. And that's just one of many instances, but they do a great job of making all the guys feel like they're a part of something bigger than themselves.
Let's go next to Karen Kornacki. Go ahead, Karen.
Can you hear me, Drew?
I can. Hello, Karen.
Hi. I traded in the red boots for red summer shoes, just so you know.
We landed last night at 75 degrees. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is fantastic.
Hey, you know, we talked last season about the defense being the strength of the team all season long. Getting Chris Jones back for another year, what can you build off of as a defense that you did this past year going into another season?
Yeah, Karen, I mean, it's huge securing Chris, you know, a 5-year deal. I think three of them are fully guaranteed. So he's going to be around here a while. And he's really a cornerstone of this defense. A lot of his production, I was talking to our guys this morning as we headed over to sign Mike Pinnell and Deion Bush. I was like, man, I feel like a lot of Chris's production, like you see the sacks, you see the TFLs, you see what he does on tape, but a lot of it's hidden because teams have to account for him in ways that free up other guys, free up our edge rushers, free up our linebackers. So when you have a presence like him in the middle of the defense that causes opponents to game plan for him in specific ways, it creates opportunities for the rest of the guys in the field. And I know we're all super excited to have him back.
Looks like we've got four left. We'll go right down the line, starting with Todd Lebo. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Drew, I've got a couple questions. First off, a question about you and when you got here. You mentioned you took a risk signing a 1-year contract. When was it that you said, this is a place I would like to re-sign? How early on in your career with the Chiefs was like, all right, this is a place I would feel comfortable coming back to?
Yeah, I don't know if there was a specific moment, but as soon as, I mean, we got through training camp, we started playing games, and then you walk out in Arrowhead on the right side with that home crowd behind, and you just know it's a special place. You know, you go out to dinner in the city, everybody's wearing Chief stuff. Like you go I drive in my neighborhood. We're starting the playoffs. There's Chiefs flags at every intersection, every corner. It's a football town. Growing up as a Midwest kid, it reminds me of like our high school, like football days where everybody's just behind like our high school. And it's just something fun to be, be a part of. And yeah, so I'd say it was pretty early on where my family and I, we really liked it. Our kids liked it. We met friends and, I said, I want to make the most of this opportunity. I'd love the opportunity to be back.
And this one's more of a general thing. I mean, these NFLPA grades came out, and I'm not exactly sure how the process works. I don't know if you, when the survey came out, you were a Charger or a Chief or when those things come out. But just what are your thoughts about that process and maybe how these, what you saw of the grades of the facilities and all the ownership and everything that came out of Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, I know each player has an individual opportunity to vote and kind of go down the list on how they see things. I was texting in our NFL PA leadership group chat. I'm like one of our fourth alternates. We were a little bit shocked. Our leadership was by a number of the grades we got. You look at the ownership, you look at the training staff, the kitchen staff. I mean, I was talking to our head chef today. I was shocked. At the grade, I think some guys just have maybe different tastes in food and whatnot, but I mean the options that they provide are, I thought was fantastic, and I really enjoyed my time last season, and I'm really excited to be back. So, each guy has their own opinion, and they're entitled to that. But yeah, that's probably what I have to say.
Next to Matt Derrick. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Drew, kind of along those lines, talking about comparing teams, you've been in a couple of different positions now with different teams. When you get if you get a chance to talk to other guys on other clubs about, coming to Kansas City, or even when you've got teammates who are free agents thinking about leaving, is there a message, anything that you would tell them as far as, maybe the grass isn't always greener, maybe even if the money is a better deal elsewhere, that that makes Kansas City a different place, and maybe why you should choose Kansas City if you're a free agent?
Yeah, I mean, I tell them to see red and think Super Bowls, and it's a pretty good pitch. No, in all seriousness, I think to this. I mean, this was very, very recent, but I texted Brett Veach. I was like, Alohi Gilman. I'm like, man, if the Chargers don't bring him back, like he's a stud, and been a teammate of mine since Notre Dame, and they just signed him back to a 2-year deal. Very smart by them. But I haven't had too much conversation with external free agents, to be honest. I've been kind of going through my own process, but there isn't much of a recruiting pitch that needs to be made with Kansas City. I mean, you have incredible leadership, like I talked about earlier, from top to bottom. You've got a culture that's a winning culture that is not about egos or self or about, guys getting paid. We all want our guys to get paid, but everything at the Chiefs and in our organization is about winning, and it's about hoisting Lombardi at the end of the season. And I think it starts obviously with Coach Reid and his day-to-day leadership. You just go to his word last year for our team. It was united, like everybody towards one goal. And so I don't think there's much of a sales pitch that needs to be made. I mean, I can't think of a better place. I've only been one other place, but I can't think that there's a better place to play football in the NFL than in Kansas City.
Last two will go Vahe and then Nate. Go ahead, Vahe.
Hey, Drew, congratulations. I wonder, you've probably said this in as many words, but I wonder if you might be able to articulate just if you've how different you might feel and what ways you might feel different to now, having achieved what happened last year, the sense of fit you have, just what your sense of yourself and your career is now based on what it would have been coming into camp last year. And then Brad, I'll have just one follow-up.
Yeah, Vahe, it's a great question. I was talking to one of our staff members, Dylan Street, and we were chuckling because about this time last year, he was new to the organization and I was coming in as an external free agent to sign. And he picked me up at 6 a.m. from our hotel to go do our medical physicals. And we kind of got to go through this past year and obviously crossing paths on a daily basis. But it's crazy how fast things can change in 1 year. And to be able to sign a deal for my family to be here for the next 3 years. And it's just really special. It's a place we want to be and certainly want to be a part of for years to come.
And then this might be hard to expand on, but to your point about feeling maybe more hungry to win again, than you did the first time. Could you expand on that? That feeling, what that means to you to say, okay, we got there, and now I just want more.
Yeah, I think there's greatness inside all of us, and there's something to be said about being around people who are hungry to achieve something special. And I think I got a taste of that last year when I just look at our player leaders, our coaches. And then obviously getting the chance to hoist the Lombardi myself at the end of the year. There's something about, man, reaching the pinnacle in our sport, which is hoisting that Lombardi trophy. And you just want to do it again. And man, I don't sense, at least in myself, I can speak for myself, like, man, there's no complaints. I don't feel any feelings internally of like, man, like I made it. Like there's a sense that I haven't made it. And man, we got to go do this thing again. And to be able to do something that nobody's done, which is win it three times in a row, like, man, there's a hunger. I can sense it. I can sense it with our guys. And we know it's not going to be easy. It's hard to win one, but when you win two in a row and then hopefully a chance to win three, like you're going to get everybody's best. And it's going to be an exciting year, man. Joy is in the journey, and we're excited for what's to come this year.
We'll go last to Nate Taylor. Go ahead, Nate.
Drew, once again, congratulations. I have two questions as well. My first is, it's been about a month now. Just what was your favorite memory of the Super Bowl when you think about it?
There's a lot. I think about throwing the football with my son on the field after, rolling around in the confetti with my wife. But I'd be lying if I said my favorite Super Bowl memory had to be the parade. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. To have like over a million people come together for, it's a game. I mean, football is just a game, but the way, I mean, schools were canceling, families were coming together, just to be able to come together and celebrate and see smiles on people's faces and go up and down the streets and just have a good time. It was a really, really special moment, and one, my wife and I will remember forever.
And I think one of the more underrated players, Drew, in the game was Leo. You obviously got to work with him a lot over the last year. He's projected to be a starter. Just where do you feel like you guys can play off one another, obviously, next year? And just what do you think you've learned a lot about Leo, obviously, since joining the team last season?
Yeah, well, Leo's a fantastic football player. He's a fantastic linebacker. He's a really, really good run defender, strong at the point of attack, a sure tackler. And he's continuing to develop his pass rush skills. And so he just adds a lot of versatility, a lot of strength to our room, our linebacker room, and certainly is a core piece of our defense.
Drew, we appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Brad. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you guys.